15. We will be in it, 1 Corinthians 15, all this month as we prepare for the Easter Sunday. We will have on the week before Easter Sunday, it's Palm Sunday. Thank you. We will be having in the morning service, we'll be having the Lord's table for those of you, just so you know. And it's in preparation for Easter, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I thought there's no better way to prepare our hearts for Easter than to take the Lord's table, to remember and really focus on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But for now, 1 Corinthians 15, you have to understand what it was written for. And it was written with the idea that they were having problems with the resurrection. I think the resurrection is the key to the Christian life. And if you've been around me at all, you'll know that's probably, I count that the most important day in the history of the life of Christ on this earth, when the day he arose from the dead. I love Easter more than any other holiday. I'm not a big holiday person, but I do enjoy Easter, because it celebrates the death, burial, and resurrection. And I tell you this all the time. I celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ every day. Every day is Easter to me, because he has done so much to me. You know, I was reminded this week as I drove down to Detroit on Friday for a funeral. I told somebody this on Wednesday night. There was a young man that was in my youth group. But when I left, he was only 10, 11 years old, but he was a spitfire little kid. But it just goes to show you that you never know. There was a big fire and a big explosion down I think it was Clinton Township. It was at 15 in Grossbeck, which means nothing to you, except maybe the Kirshners understand that. There was a big explosion, and they said it was like fireworks were going off. And it just continually did. Well, it was a vaping place, factory, and they had a lot of canisters and different things in there that just kept exploding. And I got to look at the building. The building was completely annihilated. But we had some folks from the church that were at the bowling alley just down the street, and they heard the explosion. They thought it was bombed. They were being bombed. Now, that wouldn't be totally out of the question that we'd be bombed. So they drove over there, and they parked about a quarter of a mile away from it, and they could just see the explosions, and it just came going. They were about a quarter mile away. They met up with a young teenager there. His name was Turner. He was there. They met with him, and they watched. But all of a sudden, scrap metal started flying around him. So they took off running. They ran to a car wash, and they hid in the bay there because they were going to get to their cars, because they didn't want to stick around any longer. But as they were in that car wash, his mom and dad walked up. So he stepped outside the car wash to get his mom and dad to come over there. And at that point, a piece of scrap metal hit him right in the back of the head and killed him instantly. And it's sobering as you go to a funeral of a young man. This young child, I didn't know how he turned out, because I left and I've been gone for 8 years. But he was vibrant for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was exciting. He loved the Lord. He was faithful in church. He was faithful in serving. Yet God had a plan. But as I sat through that funeral, it made me realize that death could happen to us at any moment. There were hundreds of thousands of people watching this fire that gathered around. And he was the only one that got hit. That's a... In our idea, it's one in a million chances. But God knew. And God was in perfect control. But God, it made me stop and realize that God could take me home just like that. Our lives are nothing but vapor, folks. We have to make our lives count for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful Turner made his life count. You say, but it was so short. Well, God had a perfect plan. But why he lived... He lived for Christ. And it would be very sad to do a funeral of a young person who strayed away from God and wasn't living for God at all and got hit by that scrap metal and died. It would be hard to see that they let their life be squandered away. And they're going to stand before their Savior empty-handed if they were even born again. Boy, don't put off salvation. If you're not saved, Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But know this today. You could be gone tomorrow. It's not a threat, but it's the truth, folks. Turner had no idea when he stepped out of that car wash bay to draw his parents over to him that a piece of scrap metal from more than a quarter mile away was going to hit him right in the head. But it did. And so take your life serious about God. And I think one of the things that Paul is trying to communicate to us is you've got to take serious the resurrection, because it's not that they didn't believe. There were Christians there, so they had to believe in the resurrection. But there were so many of them that didn't believe that they were going to rise again. And I'm going to show you why today. They didn't believe they would rise again. Now, some of them had to believe the resurrection because they were born again. But they didn't believe they were going to rise again. And you have to settle the resurrection. And so Paul got back to basics. And that's what we did last week. But I didn't have time to finish. But let me just give you the last point. But Paul got back to the basics and he said, I'm going to give you some proofs. And you'd find that in verse 1. The first proof was just the Corinthian Christians. In order to be saved, you had to believe in the resurrection. But Paul will go into that. Not only do you believe that Christ rose from the dead, but you will rise again one day. But the first proof, he went back to the basics of the resurrection, was that they were born again. But the second proof he gave was in verses 2 and 3, that according to the scriptures, according to the Old Testament. It did nothing more than give you what the Old Testament said on the scriptures, that Jesus came as the Messiah to die, to be buried, and to rise again. And there's so many passages that truly depict that. But Paul said then in verses 5 through 7, the eyewitnesses that he saw. They saw Christ rise. I mean, Peter, who was part of the Corinthian church at one time because some were followers of Cephas, said Peter saw the Christ. Matter of fact, it changed Peter's life. The resurrection changed his life. The 12 apostles became a fearful people, were fearful people, fearful to stand for Christ until the resurrection. They saw the resurrected Christ and they made an impact all over the world. Above 500, Paul tells us. James, the brother of Jesus, who didn't even believe that Jesus was the Messiah when he was growing up, but after he saw Jesus die and he rose again, he became the pastor of the church of Jerusalem there and made such a difference. But even then, the Apostle Paul said, I saw him. Do you know that's what changed his life? You see, Apostle Paul was a persecutor. He was known as Saul, and he was a persecutor of Christians. Why? Because he thought they were false. The Messiah hadn't come. He thought it was ridiculous that the Messiah, that what they were teaching, that the Messiah came and he died and he buried and he rose again the third day. He didn't believe in that at all. And he went out to persecute Christians in the name of God. He was in the name of God because he didn't believe Jesus Christ was alive. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ had come, that was the Messiah. But on that road to Damascus, when that bright light shined and he fell off his horse and he looked up into heaven and saw the risen Savior, it changed his life forever. It changed him. And he knew that Christ was risen from the dead. And that's when you truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it'll change your life, I'm telling you. If you truly believe it. Because it means one thing, that you're going to rise again with him and you'll spend eternity in heaven. It changed the Apostle Paul. And if you go through it, I don't have time, but he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I was a persecutor of Christians. I was saved out of due time. That out of due time means that there wasn't any possible chance, really, humanly, that Paul or Saul would be saved. He was a hater of Christians, a persecutor of Christians. But he was saved out of due time when there was no other possibility, human possibility, that he could be saved. He got saved. You know, there's some folks right now in this world, you could say, boy, there's no way possible they could get saved. But I'm telling you, they can. They can. That's the power of Christ. And on that road to Damascus, Paul saw the risen Savior, and he didn't have to go to a debate with him. All he said was, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know now that you are alive. And he understood the resurrection. That's why he wrote these passages and said, I want to know Christ. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering, but I want to know the power. I want to know everything about the resurrection. Every place Paul went, he preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ because it was life-changing to him. And he said, we are what we are by God's grace and God's working in our lives. He let us know that it was God that sovereignly blessed his apostolic ministry. You see, at that point, listen to this carefully. On that road to Damascus, when he saw the risen Christ, I believe, number one, he had a deep recognition of his sin. He saw himself as a sinner. He saw all the sin. He saw the wrongness of everything he was doing. Now, the Apostle Paul called himself the greatest, I'm a chief of sinners. But he wasn't any more sinner than you and I. We're all sinners. But he saw a deep recognition of sin when he saw the risen Savior. But then number two, he had a total change in his character because he really got it, folks. He believed that Jesus Christ was risen. I've seen too many people get saved or make a profession of faith, and they don't go to even church. They don't read their Bible. They don't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ because they never got a hold of that power of the resurrection. That Jesus Christ died, he buried, but then when he rose again, he conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered hell, and he's preparing a home for us in heaven one day. Boy, it'll change your life. That's what needs to happen. And so maybe there's some of you sitting in this room that say, well, I know Christ rose from the dead, but do you really believe it? Do you believe it? Do you really believe that because Christ rose from the dead that you're going to rise one day and stand before Jesus Christ? Do you really believe it? See, Paul did, and it gave him a deep recognition of his sin, that he was a sinner. But it gave him a total change of character. He went from being a persecutor to the greatest defender of the church the world has ever seen. He was transformed from one that characterized himself as self-righteous hatred to one characterized by self-giving love. But not only did he have a total change in character, he had a total redirection of energy. As much as he persecuted the church and persecuted Christians, he turned that and became probably the most vibrant Christian to ever walk on the face of this earth. That's what the resurrection will do. That's what Paul's saying. He said, I'm proof. I am proof that the resurrection did happen. But then he gave it in verse 11. We didn't have time to get to that. But he says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so we believed. He says, I or they, we preach. Who's the they? Well, that's the other apostles in the apostolic age there. It's the prophets. It's the pastors they are appointed into the church, like Timothy and Apollos and some of the other men that were there. All they did, you know what their main message they preached? I believe this with my whole heart. It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said, when I started the Corinthian church, I preached nothing but Christ. Well, you know what? When he says I preach nothing but Christ, he's talking about the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He knew the Corinthian church, the Corinthian believers had to grasp this truth. Now, many of them believed that Christ did rise, but there were many of them that believed that they were not going to rise. That's where the problem was. But the resurrection is the pivotal message that was proclaimed as proof that the resurrection did happen. There was no dispute about the truth or the importance of the doctrine that those prophets and apostles taught, which would have been very clear to the people of that day. So those are the proofs that he went back to basics. But then Paul isn't done yet, though. He still wants to stay in the basics in verses 12 through 19. Let me, by way of introducing this passage, we won't get through it today. But as we remember the Corinthian Christians, now remember this, they believed in, some of them believed in Christ's resurrection, but they did not believe in their resurrection. And because Christ was raised, well, resurrection from the dead was obviously possible. And they go hand in hand, folks. If Christ rose, then you're going to rise. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, then you're not going to rise. That goes hand in hand. So if you believe that Christ rose from the dead, it seems common sense that we're going to rise from the dead. But if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then make no mistake, you will not. Everything I've taught you, everything you've learned, everything you've heard preached about Easter and leading up to Easter would be all false. Because if Christ did not rise, you will not rise. There could be not one without the other. And if there's no resurrection, then the gospel is meaningless and worthless, as we will see in just a few moments. You know, it seems strange to me that some of the believers accepted one truth without the other. How could you believe that Christ rose from the dead, but you weren't going to raise? How could you believe that? I don't think that's a major issue we have in America today, in Fremont, Michigan, at Faith Baptist Church. But the cause of these Corinthians' confusion and much of their problems that they dealt with was the continuing influence of the pagan philosophies and religions of which many of them had come out of. The philosophical and spiritualistic thought in Paul's day had many erroneous ideas of what happened to human beings after death. Now it's because we grow up. You know what? I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad grew up in a Christian home. So I have an idea about Easter and about Christmas and about these holidays. But go back to me with the Corinthian church. The church has just been established. The church is just coming into its being. They didn't have grandmothers and grandpas that were in church all their life. They didn't have great grandpas and great grandmas that were preachers and facilitators of the gospel. It just didn't come about. This is the beginning of the church age. And so all these people don't have the luxury that you have to grow up with grandparents that loved the Lord or went to church or taught you biblical principles or did this. They grew up under all the philosophies of the pagan religions in Corinth and around Corinth and in Rome and all that was taking place there. And it had literally invaded their minds. And now all of a sudden, they come in and they're born again. They're saved and make a decision for Christ, but you got to understand what the basic philosophy of the pagan religions in that day, it was called dualism. Now, I've talked about that before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but dualism considered this: everything that was spiritual is good, and everything that's physical is evil. So your body's evil, but your soul is good. So your soul will go to heaven one day, or that's what they say, your soul will go to heaven, but not your body, because your body's evil. So if your soul goes to heaven, the last thing you want to do is your body to go to heaven, because the body is physical, the body is evil. That's the philosophy that had been portrayed in Corinth. That was dualism was the number one philosophy that was being taught in the Corinth area. And so I am trying to set the stage for you why you can see these Corinthian. To me, if Christ rose from the dead, I'm going to rise from the dead. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, then I'm not going to. It's that simple. But for these Corinthian Christians, for these Corinthian church members, it was difficult because the body was evil, but the soul is good. Again, for those Greeks, their bodies were the last thing they want to take along with them to their next life. They believed in the immorality of the soul, but strongly opposed the idea of the resurrection of the body because the body was evil. You know, when Paul talked to the Athenian philosophers and they heard of the resurrection of the dead, they began to mock and laugh at Paul. And when they heard of the resurrection in Acts chapter 17, Luke wrote this, they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear again of this matter. All they did is went around to hear something new. And this was absolutely new to these Athenian philosophers. But they mocked because nobody wants their body to raise, because the body is evil. That's what these Corinthian people. So again, you'd say, Pastor, it doesn't make any sense. If they believed that Jesus rose from the dead, then why didn't they believe that they're going to rise from the dead? Because they'd had their minds filled with dualism all their lives. that the physical body is evil. So despite the fact of the resurrection being taught in the Old Testament, even some of the Jews, like the Sadducees, that main group of the religious leaders of the day, they did not believe in any resurrection. Again, the foundation, though, of the apostolic teaching was that Christ arose from the dead, and all those who believed in him would be raised. That's what the apostles were trying to get. That's what the apostle Paul is trying to get across here. So in spite of the fact that the resurrection of believers is taught in the Old Testament, we gave the proofs, all the eyewitnesses, all the preachers, all the apostles and the prophets of that day, and despite the Old Testament teaching of the Jesus said one day walk on this earth to die, bury, and rose again, and the teaching of Jesus when he walked on this earth, the teaching of the apostles, serious doubts had infected the Corinthian Christians. And it is those doubts that Paul encounters in this section. So Paul asks the question in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Paul's asking that question. How can you believe there's no resurrection of the dead if Christ rose from the dead? The Corinthian believers, many of them believed in Christ's resurrection and that he was presently alive. So how then logically could they deny the truth of the general resurrection? You know, if Christ had been raised, resurrection obviously is possible. So Paul demonstrates, and he's staying with the basics. He says, I gave you the proofs that Christ did rise, but you know what? I'm going to give you the consequences. I'm going to give you the negativity if there is no resurrection. What would life be like if there is no resurrection? I mean, you don't believe in the resurrection. You say, I don't believe in the resurrection because of past teaching, because of pagan philosophies, whatever. I don't believe in the resurrection. What would life be like for us? That's what Paul answers in verses 12 through 19. And in verse 13, he said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then the bottom line is Christ isn't risen. If you don't believe in resurrection of the dead, then Christ didn't. Because if Christ arose, you're going to rise. If you're not going to arise, then Christ did not arise from the dead. It's likely that the disbelieving Corinthians got around that problem by claiming that Christ was really not a man, or he was not fully a man. Well, we know if you know your Bible, and you know the doctrine of man and the doctrine of God and the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was 100% God. He set it aside. He didn't lose his deity. He still had it. But he set it aside because he was 100% God, but he also was what? 100% man. You say, Pastor, I don't see what the big deal about that is. Well, if Jesus Christ isn't 100% man, then he can't die for the sins of the world. Because God took a man who was a lamb, but a perfect lamb. And it had to be a perfect lamb. That's why nobody else could do it. Only Christ could do it. But Jesus Christ had to become 100% man. But see, the Corinthians justified and said he was 100% God. He was deity. And everything spiritual is good, but everything physical is bad. So really, Jesus didn't die. And he wasn't buried. He rose. That's where they justified it. He didn't really die because of deity. And deity cannot die. And it's true. Deity cannot die. In his deity, he could not die. But 100% being man, he could die. And he did die for the sins of the world. But see, that's how the Corinthians justified it. Now, again, we probably don't have those philosophies in our world today. But there's a lot of people who don't believe that Jesus died and he buried and he rose again the third day. However, they want to justify the swoon theory and all the other theories that are out there about did Jesus Christ really die? Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ really did die on the cross of Calvary. And the proof is he was buried. But the proof that he is God was on the third day he arose from the dead. But see, that's how the Corinthians got around it. They said he was never physical, because if you're physical, if you're 100% man, then the physical is evil. So he was never physical. He was only his spiritual. And so Jesus Christ technically really never died. Because of their dualistic orientation, they assumed that Christ was divine and could not possibly have been human. So consequently, he did not die. Yet the gospel accounts of the life and ministry are as a person who's entirely human. He was born to a human mother. He ate, he drank, he slept, he became tired, he was crucified, he was stabbed, he bled, he died. So the Corinthian Christians could not fall back on that pagan notion that Christ only appeared to be human. He was fully human. He physically lived, he physically died, and he physically lived again. But that's what Paul says. If you don't believe in a resurrection, if you don't believe in a resurrection, then Christ didn't raise from the dead. He just simply didn't raise. That's the first consequence. That's the first, what your life would be like. What would your life be like if there is no resurrection? Then we wouldn't have Easter. There would be no resurrection. Christ never rose from the dead. Now, either he didn't die or he died and he stayed in the grave. If there is no resurrection. But number two, Paul says in the next verse, he said, and if Christ be not risen, if there's no resurrection, he's saying, then is our preaching vain. He said, all my preaching, everything I do is vain. What would life be like if there was no resurrection? All the preaching you hear would be in vain. It would be completely meaningless. That's the idea behind vain. The heart of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. The heart of the gospel is the good news. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Almost every message is centered around the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't come out and say that in every sermon, but that's what the basis of a sermon that I give you, and I'm teaching you how to live the victorious Christian life. But if Christ didn't raise because there's no resurrection, then all the preaching you get, then to being here today, it's worthless. It's in vain. Why? Well, you know what? We should get together. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, let's get together and talk about how we could become more wealthy on this earth and have more materialistic things. Because that's all that would matter. Because you eat, sleep, you enjoy life and you die. And if there's no resurrection, then you're not going to live forever. If there's no resurrection. See, Paul's trying to prove to these Corinthians, this is what your life would be like. Number one, if there's no resurrection, then Christ didn't rise. But number two, he said, if there's no resurrection, then all the preaching you listen to, every time you gather on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night, all the preaching that you hear, it's worthless. See, apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus could not have conquered sin. He couldn't have conquered death. He couldn't conquer hell. And those three great evils would be with man's conquerors forever. Without the resurrection, the good news would be bad news. Nothing worth preaching. Without the resurrection, the gospel would be empty. It'd be hopelessness. It would be meaningless. It'd be nonsense without the resurrection. So Paul's trying to give them the basics. Here's proof that Jesus Christ did rise. We know he did. And if Jesus rose, you're going to rise. But if you're going to raise again. But if you don't believe in the resurrection, if you believe there's no resurrection, like the Sadducees, like the Athenians, like many other people in that day that believed in dualism, if there was going to be no resurrection, here's what your life's going to be like. Number one, Christ didn't rise. Number two, all the preaching, the church services, all the time you spent here at Faith Baptist Church listening to the messages from God's word, it'd all be meaningless. It'd be worthless because Christ didn't rise. Why not just eat, drink, and sleep and be merry in this life? Because you know what? If you're not going to rise again, then you only have this life to live. Enjoy it. But you see, I look at it so differently. This life is just a drop in the bucket. This year, life is 60 or 70, 80, and in this church, 90 and 100 almost. It's long life. But that long life compared to eternity is nothing. I have all eternity to look forward to. That's when the real salvation comes. That's why Paul said, your salvation is nearer today than when you first believed. You're a day closer to heaven than when you got saved. And that's where it's going to be amazing. You know what, Brother Steve? You'll never have another heart issue when you get to heaven. Tom? No more problems. He's as dizzy as can be sometimes in here. It's fun to watch him at times. Do you know what? You'll never be dizzy in heaven. Ron, you'll never have a spot. I don't know if you'll golf in heaven. I can't guarantee you that, buddy. This man is a golfer. He's the man who can shoot his age. That's a real miracle. You know what? I really have thought about starting a golfing thing. If he's that healthy at his, you know what? How old are you? 86. He went through the surgery and the doctor said it was amazing because he golfs every day. I think we ought to start a golf team and golf every day in this church. We'll live to be 200. Amen? But if Christ didn't rise from the dead, if there is no resurrection, Paul said then Jesus didn't rise. But all the preaching would be in vain. But not only all the preaching would be in vain, your faith would be in vain. Your faith would be in vain. It would make our faith worthless. For a dead Savior could not give life. If the dead did not rise, if Christ did not rise, we will not rise. If there's no resurrection, the hall of the faithful in Hebrews chapter 11, I went to that and read that. I always go to that every once in a while. The hall of faith, they call it. Hebrews chapter 11. Some of the great men and ladies in that passage who lived by faith and gave their lives, some were sawed asunder. Do you know what that is? They would take a hollowed out tree and put you in the hollowed out tree and saw the tree in half. That's what they did to Christians. The beheading, the stoning. Think about it with me a minute. If there is no resurrection, then all those in that hall of faith, you could just call it no longer the hall of faith, but the hall of the foolish. For Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, David, Jeremiah, and all the other prophets, they would have given their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ for nothing if there is no resurrection. Think about it. You know, they would have been mocked and scourged and imprisoned and stoned and beaten and afflicted and ill-treated. And all that would be in vain because there's no resurrection. See, Paul's trying to show the Corinthian people without the resurrection, Christ didn't rise. All the preaching, it's vain. Your faith, vain. It's not worth anything. Why would people like John Huss sing and praise God at the burning of the stake as they lit the flames around him and his body was engulfed in flames and he gave his life for the cause of Jesus Christ? Why would you do that if there's no resurrection? Why would you do it? Why would any of you take abuse at work? Take abuse at school with our teenagers and have that abuse in their lives. Why would you do it if there's no resurrection? Just go with the flow. Enjoy life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Paul said, can you imagine what life will be without resurrection? Christ did not rise. The preaching's vain. Your faith is in vain. In verse 15, as I'll close, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, and whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If there's such a thing, or no such thing as the resurrection of the dead, then every person who claimed to have witnessed the risen Christ And every person who's preached the risen Christ or testified of Christ as being risen, you'd be called nothing but a liar. Let's just call it like it is. Paul and all the apostles and all the missionaries, it's just simply a lie. To deny the resurrection is to call the apostles and every other leader in the New Testament church simply not mistaken, but liars. If Christ did not rise from the dead, and if there is no resurrection, not only were they not sent by God with a message from him, but they were liars who would have had to conspire together in order to have their lives be so consistent and harmonized. Not only that, but those witnesses who would have testified and preached and taught a lie for which they were maligned, beaten, imprisoned, and even martyred. Why would they do it for a lie? That's what Paul's saying. People do not die to preserve a lie. It's true that if the resurrection is not true, then Christ himself is a liar. Because he told us he would live again. I am the resurrection and the life. He's a liar. He would have hardly qualified as the divine Son of God and the world's Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ would have become a victor, but a victim if the dead did not rise. So Paul is just being practical, and I know that maybe this means absolutely nothing to you. But it was good for me to sit back and say, what if there was no resurrection? What would life be like if there was no resurrection? Man, Christ didn't rise, so there'd be no Easter. There'd be no celebration. All my preaching would be in vain. All my study of the Bible is in vain because it's nothing but a lie. My faith would be in vain. Why work so hard for the glory of Jesus Christ? Why take the abuse at work? Why take the abuse in families? Why do it? Because your faith is in vain if there's no resurrection. And if there's no resurrection, then I'm one of the biggest liars in this auditorium. I'm a liar. I'm nothing but a liar if Christ did not raise. If Christ did not rise from the dead and there is no resurrection, life would be so different for you and me. You say, well, Pastor, I'd sort of like it. No, I don't think you would. Because you know what gets me through today? Is eternal home in heaven tomorrow. You know what gets me through the rough times of my life? Is that I have a Savior who died for me. And he took my penalty, the penalty of sin. You see, people, I believe, live like they do, a number of people, because they believe that when they die, their body goes to the grave, which it does. And it just stays right there. Because there's never a resurrection. But in my mind, I ask the question, what do they have to live for? What do they have to live for? Listen, you can be poor in this life and rich in the next life. You can be downtrodden. You can be educably slow. You can have nothing in this lifetime, but you'll have everything in the life to come if you believe in the resurrection. Folks, if I didn't believe I was going to stand before God one day, why preach? I wouldn't come to church. I wouldn't waste my time in church. Not today, but normally I'd be out in the river fishing. Why go to church if Christ did not raise? If there's no resurrection? See, as you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's going back to the basics. Now, he gets into some pretty neat stuff in the next section. But he had to teach the Corinthian people because of their pagan belief systems that they grew up in, that there was a resurrection. I hope I don't have to convince you that there was a resurrection. But I tell you something, I can make you a promise. If you truly believe that Jesus did raise from the dead, and that he truly did conquer sin and conquered death and conquered hell and conquered Satan, if you truly believe it, it'll change the way you live. Oh, I think some of you believe it, but do you really believe it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I don't know how you can truly believe that every time I take that communion cup and hold that grape juice in my hand that represents the blood of Jesus Christ, as I hold that wafer in my hand, think of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. But if he didn't raise from the dead, it's all in vain. It's worth nothing. But when he arose from the dead, that gave me life. It gave me victory. And how can I help but to live with for him in this life, knowing that I'll live with him for all eternity in the life to come? That's what Paul's trying to do. Now, they're way different than you are, I believe, in their beliefs. But he's trying to show them the importance of truly believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he gave six proofs. Now he gives what your life would be like without the resurrection. Think about that this week. How your life would be so drastically different that you'd have nothing to hope for, nothing to live for, nothing to look forward to. You know what? It's not that I want to die, but I don't mind dying. Because you know what dying gets me? Eternal life. So I'm not afraid to die. But I know so many people that are afraid to die. You know why? They haven't settled this resurrection in their heart. Oh, you believe differently than the Corinthians, but you haven't settled it in your mind, in your heart, that Jesus did rise, and one day I'll be raised again. The resurrection is real, and it did happen. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Again, the Corinthians believed way differently than what I think most people believe today. I don't think we practice dualism. And I think most people in church today grew up in a Christian home or have Christian family. So their minds aren't totally warped like the Corinthians were. But the fact is the same. We have to believe